The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 13, and I'm reading from the NRSV version. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. So, I really do love baptisms and especially, well, all baptisms, adults and children. And the big one of the big things really is just it's that moment of acknowledging the big story that you know, through baptism we're celebrating that we are God's child and that we belong in God's family, and that great big truth that defines us and is part of our identity is something that I love to celebrate and love to be part of. And in terms of our journey of what's your story, I mean, think for Ariella and Riley, you know, we've just been part of a moment of delighting that God is part of their story right from the beginning of their lives. And we know that that is so much goodness, and they told of that goodness, and they will grow up with the name of Jesus being proclaimed to them, and what God's story in this world is and how they can be part of that story. It's such a good place to start. But when you look at that heading there, identity, privilege, and reflexivity, and especially when one looks at the word privilege, you see that one's got to talk about identity, and I've got to talk about identity in somewhat of a different way now. And so I dive into this message. And firstly, to say I really struggled to get into this theme today that is part of our series. And there are a lot of reasons why I really struggled. But one of the reasons really had to do with, in terms of the word privilege especially, and identity and how identity and privilege go together. You know, there's a lot of noise in that theme. Some of you will be aware of it, some of you not, especially social media. A lot of noise. And I haven't really engaged very much with it, but some of the teachings and preachers that I have engaged with or heard or seen what they've said, you know, it's a heavyweight punch, as it were, that they give, and I've always thought, yo, don't know if I could say things like that, and so, you know, I didn't want to go there, and it's partly because where I started this message, you know, I love to reflect on the great identity I have, you have. I'm a child of God, you know, a child of God. But here, one's got to think at a different level about this. I'm white. I'm male. Heterosexual and married. I got a good education at school. I won't boast about my school now, but good. I got a university education. I've got a title, you know, reverend by my name. I've been in leadership from the beginning of my adult life. I'm English in a country where English is the predominant language of exchange. So all of these things, I'm able-bodied. So all of these things that are part of my identity, and to say them is like, feels almost crude, you know, and awkward, and was really difficult, because part of it is to acknowledge that through the accidents of birth, part of who I am has been about benefiting from the sin of society. So you say the first two things, white and male, and so I was born 1966. In South Africa in the 1960s, the government was spending 10 times more on the education of white children compared to black colored children. And so, you know, that part of my identity, it's really awkward to reflect on. And so I was born at a time where I was put on an upward trajectory at the cost of others on a downward trajectory. And my story is a story then of benefiting from sin in society. And then I'm male, so you know, there's patriarchal culture and privilege there also. And there's enough difficulty in that, but you know, the last number of decades in South Africa, being white and male has also changed so much. You know, it's not always now a context of privilege. So, you know, that's what it felt like for me. You know, I've got to preach on this now. Niemann. Talk to me about being a child of God and I'm happy, but now all of this kind of stuff. Eish. So if you are familiar with, you know, how people have taught on this and privilege and all of that, this may well regard as one of the mildest sermons on that topic. I don't know. Well, let's see where it goes. What it felt to me like was, you know, if you're hiking in the bush and you come up to a river and you've got to cross the river, but you see there were crocodiles on the banks and they slipped into the water. And now, you know, you don't know where they are, but you kind of got to cross this river. So I know I'm going to get bitten, but just not sure where and how I'm going to get bitten. But anyway, like Moses, you know, he had to lead people across to the other side. We do need to cross this river. I do need to take us across. Because of this, these things at our disposal, these privileges, these resources, these strengths, these benefits, all of that, we have a responsibility because of them. Any talent, any gift, anything you've got going for you, and that applies to every one of us here, because we've all got some things going for us. There's a corresponding responsibility to it. And those who have more, who are more privileged, have greater responsibility. So we do have to name this, because if one's not naming it, if one's not facing it, then one's not aware of the responsibilities we carry. So that's a core teaching of Jesus. It's a life principle that one needs to accept. Jesus, for example, when he tells the parable of the talents, the person who got more talents, more was expected of them. And there's another teaching of Jesus where he thinks about and he thinks out loud and he proclaims out loud. You know, he says in Chorazin, and Bethsaida and Capernaum, I've done most of my work, but they haven't repented. And he says, greater is going to be their condemnation on judgment because I had done so much there. So they got a lot of attention from God through Jesus. More was expected of them, but they were quite unrepentant cities. He says, woe to those cities that are unrepentant. And then this passage that I decided was going to really stand before us and proclaim. Because from the perspective of this title of privilege and needing to speak about privilege, one realizes there's something important, and I'd never seen this before until I looked at this passage from the perspective of privilege. When you look at this passage from the perspective of privilege, it's saying, have you been faithful in dishonest gains? So for those of us who are born into privilege, you know, in a sense, that's dishonest wealth. It's at the expense of others that we gain this wealth. And Jesus says, those who can't be faithful with dishonest gained wealth, not dishonesty of my own part, you see, but dishonesty of the system that I was born into. But he says, you've got to be faithful. Your response to this has to be a faithful response. I mean, that's staggeringly important message for us to hear. It's a consequence that we have to accept the responsibility and carry. If one's born into a system where one is benefiting from unearned privilege, unearned advantage, one has to be faithful in that context, this passage is saying. So I remind us of it. Jesus says, whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. Whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you've not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? And there's a deep and important call for us here. For us all in ways, whether one was born into a circumstance of privilege or not. Because every achievement any one of us does have, anything that we do have going for us, in a way also belongs to another. So for example, you know, when a child writes matric, the child walks in and writes matric themselves. And we congratulate them for the result. But everyone back at home knows they've worked very hard for that matric as well. They're pretty exhausted and they're delighted when the matric exams are over because of how much it's taken out of the family. You know what I mean? It's a community achievement. So even if you've worked hard for a thing and you feel you've earned it, you've got the merit to have what you have. Just acknowledge that it's also a communal achievement. And so it belongs to another as well. And Jesus is saying, we have to be faithful with that which belongs to another. It gives us a responsibility. We have an enormous responsibility with everything that is at our disposal. So the question is, how can I share what I have at my disposal? How can I share privilege? How can I use the resources I have to serve others? Because if what I have is the little, I can transform it into something much greater if I offer it in service to the greater good and God's story in this world. And so to ask ourselves, and I want you just to start to reflect a little bit within yourself, what is there that you have? Resources, financial, talents, abilities, skills, knowledge, experience, time, position, that you can use to share more with others, that you can use to serve others. What is there? I mean, a quick slice of an answer from me also is to say, I said earlier that I had a lot of difficulty working on this message. The reality is I've been preaching for 40 years, and it's core to my calling and all of that. But it's still the most difficult thing I do. It's the most difficult part of my work is preparing for Sundays. So there you see privilege and responsibility. It's the privilege of being a preacher, but the responsibility is enormous. And so for us to be aware that our privileges, whatever resources we've got going for us, might also be the very place of our greatest responsibility and the thing that's most difficult for us in our lives. And how does this land for you then? If you had to name at least just one of your privileges and what responsibility is linked to it. And in the spirit of the series, and those who are visitors don't know this, but we've been doing this every week this month, is I'm going to give you a moment to turn to somebody and answer that question. Turn to somebody, make sure everybody has somebody talking to them. Turn to somebody and say, name one of the privileges you have and the responsibility that you believe is linked to it. And I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do that now. Please do that. So the thing is, you know, we are not statues. Yes, we can have labels, white male, but I'm not a static statue that, you know, the label fits in a static way. Whatever your identity is in at this crude level of these things we've had to talk about, just know that you're not a statue that's labeled. I define what kind of white male I am. You define what kind of person you are. And to appreciate also that it's an unfolding story. It's you know, how I was 10 years ago is different from how I am now. And it's a chapter that's unfolding. And there are more chapters to come. And you and I have the privilege of, you know, writing the future. Of defining how we define things, if you know what I mean. And so that's really, really important. And so that word reflexivity is all about reflecting on identity, reflecting on privilege, and responding responsibly to it. Because with everything that we have at our disposal comes responsibility. Amen. Amen.